All right, so now it started recording. So this is Russell Canning. This is the NH Exit Town Hall on a Monday night. And this is also turning into our little nhexit.org podcast. And right now, this is open for anybody to join us. But the only person that's joined me is Keith Bissett, which is a person I know. So he's on the line with us.
Hi, Russell.
Hey, so are you allowed to reveal where you are, or do you feds not reveal your locations?
Well, the answer to your leading question is, of course I'm allowed to reveal where I am. Feds do not reveal their location, but that is not why I'm not going to reveal my location. But I will tell you where I'm at. I'm at 1,400 feet in White Mountain National Forest. Do you need anything more accurate than that?
No, what I was mostly, I'm in my house here in New Hampshire, but Keith's out in the woods. So that's what he's a little bit.
I'm in the woods.
Usual.
Yeah. I came up for Pork Fest this year. So I got up here. I left home. I live in South Florida. I left home June 3rd with my teardrop camper. And I came to Pork Fest and I actually haven't left yet.
Okay.
I'm still in the North Country. I've been in the North Country since Pork Fest, about three quarters of the time in White Mountain National Forest. I'm in a boondock spot up a fire road. They're free spots. I'm with North Country Brian. I think he'd be okay if I disclose that.
Okay, cool.
We've been having a good time, and I've been improving my camper situation for totally off-grid living. This site we just found about a week and a half ago. It's got a creek, so we got water. I just took a nice hot shower. I have a hot shower, but you know, bringing water here is a problem. But we use creek water, river water, and there's no other service except it does have three bars of 5G internet, which is the only infrastructure thing that I really care about.
Yeah, and you're
everything
high
else,
up that you're
I
actually
don't care.
Getting that from someplace. Well,
yeah, we have a nearby federal government rest stop installation, so we take our trash there. Maybe I shouldn't disclose this, but our trash is generated in National Forest. So we give the federal government our trash, and also our poop from the porta potty.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much my only connection with the federal government right now is I give them my trash and my poop. Other than that, I've kind of seceded from almost everything.
I thought you except would like being here in the summertime because it's, you know, it's pleasant here in the summer if you can find a good place like that. September is my favorite time around here because the leaves in the southern part just start doing things, but the weather's still nice. And so far, early September has been a little bit drier than normal, so it's a little bit more pleasant for me. And then where you guys are at, here the swamp maples have started turning, and then we're now starting to get the normal maples. I call them the rainbow maples. What kind of trees are turning there?
I don't know the tree types, but there's definitely turning trees. I see a difference every day. Up here.
I call them the swamp maples because they're red. The first ones that turn are red. And what they are is they're the most distressed trees. So they're like in a swamp or like say they're an old tree in the middle of a town or in somebody's yard that's dying. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that turn first, I've noticed. And then it moves to normal maples and keeps going. And then we get more orange, you know what I mean? And that's just, that's what I noticed. So
I drove down to Meredith. I went to, there's somebody who's playing music down there about an hour south of here, down through Franconia Notch. So I just did that drive down and back yesterday afternoon. It was beautiful. It's starting to turn in Franconia Notch, especially
yeah,
the higher elevations you can see.
Yeah.
It's not peak yet. My plan is to stay here until peak colors and then kind of work my way south following the peak colors.
There's a
big North Country event up here October 3rd and 4th. I'm playing the group I formed, Free State Acoustics, we're playing October 3rd and then at Harmony Mountain Eco Farms on October 4th. There's a big Free State Project event with Eric Brakey's coming up, and Dennis Pratt and Carol Pratt and a bunch of other people. So I'm staying for that.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, and if you started moving down partway through October, that might work pretty good. I have a different idea of what peak is. Most of the websites and things, they call peak when there's the most color. I like it this early part where there's no, I like it right now where no trees have lost any leaves. So it's either green or red. And then later on, you know, it gets to be all orange and rust and yellow. But then a quarter of the trees don't have any leaves anymore.
So that's past the peak then.
You that's what some, but you know, so what I consider peak is not the same as like the Old Farmer's Almanac version of peak. So that's
so Keene is a week or two behind here, I guess, right?
I would think at least a week, because you know the elevation weeks. And the north south, the latitude. Mm-hmm. So with me, my normal commute or me running around here, I go from 500 feet up to about 1600 each day. So I get some variety every day just that way.
That's nice
for September, October.
Yeah. Everywhere you go up here, is like that. I've gotten to know. So I've, you know, 3 months or so in the North Country. Last year, Renata and I, my girlfriend, we spent about 2 months up here. So this year it's like 3.5 months, something like that. I'm going to be mostly in the North Country.
And last year was one of the wettest summers we've had here. And last July was the wettest July like ever. So this has been a more normal summer. I don't know if you noticed that.
It's been dry. It's great. I don't remember the last time it rained, actually.
Yeah, it's not rained much because, you know, we normally get it about once a week here, and September's been a little bit drier, but.
It's been great for living outside. I mean, I've been living outside since before Porkfest, so.
Yeah.
yeah, it's been mostly dry.
So I have a few things that, you know, Dave used to read off the news, and sometimes I do that. I kind of go through my blog post that I'm about to make. One of the things I was going to bring up is that CalExit is doing their International Summit on Self-Determination on the 28th, which I think is Saturday. I think
it's Saturday. A Saturday. Yes. Yeah. Saturday. If I recall correctly, don't quote me, it's 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah. So that's
1 p.m. here.
Yeah. 1 Eastern. So are you, I think, FL exit. Do you guys call it?
I am. Yes. I'm attending as Flexit representative, but I'll probably be in New Hampshire. So I may talk about New Hampshire exit. But yeah, yes, okay. I'm attending as a Florida person.
Okay. All right. So that's good. I'm the one representing NH Exit this time. Carl is busy that day. They're celebrating their anniversary. So both of us will be giving our little presentations that day. So that'll be fun.
So did you prepare a presentation? I wasn't sure what to do for it.
Well, they want.
They haven't said.
They want 10 minutes, and they want what they asked for is not what I would normally talk about, but I'll kind of do a mixture. They're saying to do that each one of us gets 10 minutes. I told them I could make it shorter than that, but that you're talking why your situation is particularly good or the advantages your place has. I probably won't do very much of that. See, that's kind of the way a CalExit person thinks of things, that they're a special place. I like the idea of leaving no matter where I was living, because for me, the biggest issue is staying out of World War III. So I would think this is a good idea if, like, I lived in California or Arkansas or New Hampshire. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
So
I
for,
if you
so.
don't live in the state, like if it's going to be 10 minutes of people talking about their own personal location, that doesn't sound all that
Yeah,
interesting.
that would not be what I, if I was doing something like this, or if we do that in the future, like when we hosted them at Pork Fest, the Texit guys and the, the Texas National Movement and the Calexit guys at Pork Fest, that wasn't what we were doing. We were talking about secession and decentralization in general, because people at Pork Fest don't want to hear about why Californians think that they're special. And I agree with you. Like me too. I don't really want to hear about Hawaii or Cape Town, their specifics, or like, I'm not trying to amaze and amuse people with New Hampshire statistics. I will probably just mention three or four things that are unique to New Hampshire, but I like the idea in general. And some of us, I don't know if this is true for you, some of us, if one of these states were to secede, some of us might move there, right, to get out.
Yes,
And I think
I think
I
the most interesting question, as if you want to get into individual locations, and it's countries, applies to not just the US, but so specifically within the US, which state is going to leave first? That's an interesting question. And there's a couple of possibilities. I happen to be a Florida, I'm admin of the Flexit page, but I don't think Florida's not going to be first. I mean, I think I'll just say that flat out. Florida won't be first.
Yeah, I that would make sense.
I doubt California will be first as much as the California, the Calexit 2.0 guys, Calexit LLC, that's the host of this conference. I did notice that Calexit 3.0 isn't invited. That's interesting.
Well, there's at least two groups that both go by Calexit or have something to do with that that don't get along with each other. I forget who's who now. I'm trying to be friendly with all of them, but
I'm
there's at
friendly with
least
all of them.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's at least one split.
There's, yeah,
So.
California as a state has several. I don't know how many, because there's the
Yeah.
Calexit. If you want me to spend a couple minutes on it, I could do a little overview if you like.
Yeah, and then when I lived in California, I liked the idea of us exiting. Also, if California was to leave, of course it would probably split in other parts too, because when I lived in California, I wanted to be separate from LA and San Francisco. I
Yeah,
felt like people in
that's the
LA,
separation.
I felt like people in LA were voting to take my money all the time.
Well, they are.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
They were, yes. Oh, and they succeeded too, right? That may be
Yes,
why you
that's
left.
they got a little bit more all the time.
So the summit is hosted by they go by Calexit LLC, or Calexit 2.0 is the other name. Marcus Ruiz Evans is one of the key people. The
Yeah, he's
CEO is Jason Wright is the CEO, they call him. So
Yeah, the
they're
first and he's the one that the first guy, he's the one that Marcus is the one that came to Pork Fest by by internet. So,
Oh, yes, he
yeah.
attended one of the, when Daniel Miller was there from Texas and on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I've been on their show, they've been on my show on Rebel
Okay, good.
Civics. Yeah, I know, I don't know, I know Marcus, I've talked to him a lot. So they're trying to do the elevator pitch here version. So the Calexit LLC, they are the left progressive socialist, I would call it. I don't think they use that term for themselves, but they are the California ideal that we mostly hear about, the California that's trying, their best to influence and dictate what the other 49 states have to do. And the thing that I love about those guys is they are that. They're definitely that side, but they're not trying to dictate to everybody. They don't have that part. They do believe in the idea of self-governance. They believe in the concept that the people of get to determine what form of government they have. They're not happy with the United States. Their reasons they're not happy are different from my reasons for not being happy, but I don't really care about that part. I like the fundamental part that they want to decide what their state, how their state is run. They like open borders. They like social medicine. They like all that stuff. They want to set up, as I see it. This is all my opinion. Caveat. You guys, if I say something that's not exactly right, I welcome the correction. But
yeah.
they want to create the left liberal paradise that most of us see California trying to impose on the rest of us. But the difference, the key difference with these guys is they're not trying to impose it on the other 49 states. Mm-hmm. Actually, what they want to do is just split away and start their own country called California and do what they want. And I'm 100% behind that. Go mm-hmm. for it. I think it's great. The other CalExit is CalExit 3.0 is what that group is called. It's Louis Marinelli is the, I don't know what his title is, but he's kind of in charge of that one.
Yeah, and I've never talked to him.
Yeah, I've interviewed him. So they are they would like to divide California into at least two pieces. So one would be the 22 counties that center San Francisco, Sacramento, LA, the Atlantic or the Pacific Coast, Central West, out to the center. They want to take that and split that off as the California secession movement, mm-hmm. which is kind of what the other guys want to do, except they actually want all of California. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And that state, those 22 counties would be like right now they're 3-1 Democrat voters liberal. Mm-hmm. And so if that part of California splits off, that would really be the left paradise. I welcome the experiment. I would like to sit back and see how that goes. I hope that happens. And then the rest of California, they're conservative. So they kind of tend to be Republican, flag wavers, Pledge of Allegiance kind of people. That's this other, the CalExit 3.0. So they want to take the rest of California, which is the northern part, the southern part where San Diego is, all the military people down there, like they don't want to leave with Sacramento and San Francisco. And then the whole eastern 50% of California, which is rural farmers, and like they're all kind of conservative, and the rest of California would be a swing state. That's what they think politically. It would end up being a swing state, not left at all. It's kind of a mix of typical U.S. a third Democrat, a third Republican, and a third independent. That would be the rest of California. So that's CalExit 3.0. those guys didn't get invited to this party because the two CalExits disagree on how to handle California. So this is, but I support them both basically. Mm-hmm. And I also support, got the Jefferson movement in the northeast part of California that wants to form a separate state called Jefferson.
Yeah.
That's hardcore conservative up there. They would be red as can be, you know, Trump would win every county, right? That's mm-hmm. that part.
Yeah. If they were still a state in the United States. Yeah.
Yeah, they want to stay, and there's some more. I'll stop there. Russell, I was not successful at the elevator pitch because California is 40 million people. So to do one thing with California, I think California is actually too big. I don't know if I'm going to say in their summit because they disagree with me on this.
Well, that's also when we're on there, I'm going to do my thing about New Hampshire, right? Trying to represent our different groups. And then I'll be part of the question and answer. I don't think I will be interacting with the CalExit guys about their issues. You know what I mean? I don't think we'll have time I lived in California for quite a while. I don't know, 12, 15 years, something like that. I can't quite picture it just being two parts because Southern and Northern California hate each other so much. People in LA, I mean, we used to think of people in San Francisco as, one of the jokes used to be, we live in SoCal and they're NoCal, like not no California. Cal. You know what I mean? Also, when you're a conservative person in Southern California, Sacramento is the enemy, right? And it's in Northern California. So in some ways, it makes sense to have the coastal area all one thing because they are dominated by the Democrats and stuff like that. But it almost should be split in two. And it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't go all the way up the coast necessarily. And it should include Sacramento, even though, because Sacramento is different than the rest of the San Joaquin Valley, you know what I mean? Because of the government and stuff. But the Central Valley is totally different than the deserts in Southern California and the coast, right? It's got its own personality. Like you're saying, the mountains that are north of Sacramento, those have a very different personality than all the rest of us. And San Diego, especially, used to have quite a bit different than LA, but in some ways, as it keeps growing and growing, and there's more and more Mexicans, you know what I mean? The military part doesn't dominate it as much as it used to, when San Diego was, you know, one fourth the size, probably when I lived there. But in some ways, California, we used to think they'd have to split in at least three, you know what I mean? And there's enough people to do that. But what I think you and I both support with them, they're not socialists because, in some ways, because they're not centralizers, right? They're not demanding to be part of a one world government and one big United States, you know what I mean? So
Yeah,
even
no,
if we
they're
disagree
not that.
with, even if we disagree with some of their ideas, they're not trying to dominate the world militarily. They're not trying to have a one world health system, right? They're not trying, you know what I mean? Those kinds of things that are the worst things, wouldn't you say? Just like if the coast of
Yeah, they're
California became its own state, I don't think they would have the same kind of military that they currently have, being 1/20th of the United States, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they couldn't. They probably couldn't. And
You
why
know,
would they want to? It
yeah, because it just
would a lot will depend on what happens if this does happen with what
just
they
like
try to do. But they probably won't go out and like be invading a half a dozen countries simultaneously. It's probably not what they'll do.
just like Florida and Texas. If Texas leaves, of course, the Texas people are much more interested in the military than us New Hampshire guys are. And like Daniel Miller said, you know, they'll be the fifth biggest military if they leave as they are now, and they followed the NATO guidelines for spending on their military. You know, they'd be like the fifth biggest military. But even then, they're not going to have bases in Europe. They're not going to have bases in the Middle East, right? It's just not going to
Yeah,
happen.
I would hope that isn't what Texas would do. They wouldn't send ships, hither and yon to, take over Middle Eastern countries or
Same
whatever.
with
I
Florida,
wouldn't
right?
think they would do that.
You've got plenty of
Florida.
conservative people in Florida, but they're not going to have a navy that's going everywhere.
I don't think Florida would. I mean, there are several big military bases in Florida, but after a secession, generally, at least my view is that the hardware should just be turned, should just go back to the United States. They just
So
have to leave.
how many people live in Florida right now?
About 22 million.
So 22 million, where does that put you compared to some other countries?
I think it's roughly in the middle of the pack worldwide. It would be, there's about 200, 212, I think, depending on how you count. In there somewhere, right? Depends on whether you count the Vatican and some people don't like, but it's in the round numbers 200, and Florida would be kind of in the middle.
So you'd
California
be
would be a little bigger than the middle, and
That's
New Hampshire's 1.4 million around there.
exactly.
But
And
New
then,
Hampshire would not be the smallest. It's not even like Montenegro's 1/10 that size.
yeah, we for us, one of the things we joke about is we are 0.4% of the US population, and we're also 0.4% of the land. When you th start thinking about that, if we left, how would they even notice? 0.4% leaving, right? We're not taking that much land, and we're not taking that many people. And also, so at a little at a million, million and a half, then we're the exact same size as Estonia. We are like a lot of those kinds of countries.
I hadn't heard that, argument before, but that's saying, As far as noticing, like the difference between Texas leaving and New Hampshire is huge on that regard.
Yeah, we're not that big in land or people. I mean, if you were to slice 0.4% off the federal budget, that's nothing. You know, it's
Well,
just
I think
nothing.
every tax slave matters.
Yeah, well, but it is when you think about that kind of stuff, you know, when you think about the percentages. So yeah, we would be a lot smaller country. Like Florida would be smaller than some of the bigger countries in Europe, but you'd be bigger than some of the little ones, right? At
Yes,
22
and
million.
Florida's big enough that that argument doesn't apply to Florida,
No,
right?
no,
They would
no,
be
it's.
very much not want to let Florida go.
No,
And
that's what
Florida's
we.
got, you know, some of the things that are in Florida, they'd be reluctant.
Yeah, and
You know,
we
they
joke
would.
about that we want Texas to leave and we'll sneak out the side door.
Yes. Yeah, let Texas go. So
Yes.
that is an argument for, I mean, this is something that would be interesting to bring up in the summit, like who's the next secession?
Well, that's what I think. Let's talk about that next. I think that's a good thing to talk about, you and I. The idea of who leaves first or what the next thing is. I have a, you know, to me, there's two different ways I look at secession. Either somebody will initiate it, right? Like one of us will initiate it, and then we'll see how the federal, you know, US government reacts. Or everything in the US starts falling apart, you know, civil war type things. And then we think of it, some of us in NH Exit think, if things fall apart, we just kind of want to be more ready than some other states. Does that make sense? That if we're already kind of planning and talking about these things, then if things start falling apart, we'd be more ready to go.
It makes sense to be, it's the plan B, like plan B is already kind of in place. New Hampshire has, you know, some
I mean,
advantages as an independent.
yeah,
Texas has that.
New Hampshire would
Texas
be,
has plan B in
yeah,
place.
say things start falling apart, New Hampshire will be more ready to go than Maine or New York. You know what I mean? Because we've been talking about it and we've been thinking about it. But what do you think is the more likely thing to happen? One of us leaving or things falling apart? Or what do you think of that idea that I have?
Oh, well, let me start by saying predicting the future has a terrible track record. I don't know. I mean, last week, you know, in the space of 2 months, some group probably took a shot at the president. Things are falling apart. They're trying to start World War III pretty hard. They're about to authorize U.S. missiles deep into Russia, which is essentially the U.S. is, you know, Ukraine, of course, is a proxy. So the United States government is seeking to bomb Russia, the biggest nuclear power in the world. That's not good. I would like to be separate from that and be a neutral country, be a Switzerland in that conflict and not be part of World War III. The question of whether it collapses or a state leaves prior to the collapse, I don't even want to speculate on it. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? How would you answer that question if I had asked
Well,
you?
that's the same thing. When I was talking to Carla about that this week, she's a little bit more thinking that it'll fall apart. I kind of have in my mind that we need to keep going forward with the plan of trying to leave and not waiting for things to happen. You know, there's no reason for us to not non-violently keep taking steps forward and
It's
hoping we're the first ones to go. You know what I mean? Not
the
waiting for other
proactive,
people.
take the proactive approach. You can see it coming. Like when it happens and exactly how it happens, I don't even want to guess. I mean, I think we should be prepared for the several different possibilities and which one happens first, that's the end. I don't know. But it's, I mean, all history, all of Earth's history shows that empires eventually end. And the United States, these United States, is the biggest empire in Earth's history. So it's not going to last forever. But when that happens, I don't know. Will I still be alive? I don't know. They're accelerating it. They're accelerating the collapse of the US dollar. They're accelerating the dollar losing its status as the reserve currency of the world. They're printing trillions, borrowing and printing trillions. Like, the dollar's not doing well. They're trying to start World War III pretty hard. Something's going to break. Something's going to give. The last 4 years of the federal government is, we have a quote unquote president who's the empire, whatever you want to call the insider elites that are in charge, the deep state. They were like pushing him as like, everything's fine, don't worry about anything. And then one day they all decided that, oh, he's too senile to run for president next term. He's not too senile to be president. They're fine with that. He's commander in chief of the nuclear forces. He's in charge of, the Ukraine war and the proxy war. Like, he's okay with that for 6 more months, but he's too old and senile to run for president. Like, all that seems to be fine with the empire.
As a
So,
side thing, just because I think this is funny, did you follow or did you know about how the Democrats in New Hampshire were trying to get the Democratic National, what's it, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, I guess
the
it is.
convention.
They were trying to
The
get
answer is
them.
I have no idea. I have no
Okay,
idea.
so
Go ahead and tell
last,
me.
so about a year, year and a half ago, the Democrats in New Hampshire made a video and were pleading with the Democrat Party, to not run Biden. I don't know if other states did this, but New Hampshire did that. New Hampshire Democrats did, because they thought he would lose to Trump. So they were begging him not to run. They made a video. And then, of course, you do know about how they took away the vote in the primary from New Hampshire, right? For the Democrats.
No, I didn't.
The Democratic National Committee took away the first primary from the Democrats here. Now, by law, they have to have the first primary, so they did it anyhow, but they didn't count their vote till later. They did not want New Hampshire to be the first primary because Biden didn't win here last time. They wanted South Carolina to be the first because he won there last time. So here, people like Dave Ridley and I have tried to tell Democrats, you realize we're looking forward to a time when we split from the US and we're arguing with you, New Hampshire Democrats, and you guys will actually have more say in the new country than you will in this current one, right? If you're a Democrat in New Hampshire, they don't care about you. They don't want to listen to you. They're not interested in you, right? It doesn't matter. Like right now, we have. I think they're all Democrats that represent New Hampshire. The two senators and the two reps, they might all be Democrats for all I know. They don't care. We send four guys off to Washington, D.C. If we don't want to be in the next war, they don't care. They don't care about New Hampshire. And if we're our own little country, those Democrats will have more say in the new tiny New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's a good
I
argument.
mean, it's
It's far more say. They'll have far more say.
just like some of the Democrats wish they could. They're tired of us radical Republicans and libertarians and conservatives. They wish we were old-fashioned Republicans, but anyway, in this new New Hampshire, they'll have a lot more say. Just like with California, if they split, they're going to be able to do stuff that they can't do right now,
How do
because
they
places.
define? Go ahead.
What, because they get put. So I think that's just a funny little side thing that DC, like you're saying, even if everything doesn't fall apart, they are crossing bridges or rivers or doing unprecedented things. And there's problems coming that we've never had, right?
All yeah,
Since World War
all
II
empires.
or the Civil War, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll come to war,
But
but
no, I'm saying that it's
all empires end eventually. It
we're doing things that haven't happened since then.
the
Like
most
with
likely war is if Washington resists losing its tax slaves. That's the only war scenario. No, nobody, I mean, of all the like, there's dozens of various secession movements even within the U.S. None of them are violent. None of them are talking about war. The only war would be is if the federal government doesn't want to lose its revenue. That's the and its power. That's the only way you have a war.
Just like when we talk to people on the streets, some people will worry that China's going to come after us or something like that. And I tell them the only people I'm worried about is the U.S. government. I'm
They're
not.
certainly the most, yeah, the most fearful, dangerous, risky government in the world for us is the U.S. government.
Yeah, I mean,
China pales. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, none of those, like they're all fine. Just leave them alone. No, they won't bother
Yeah,
us.
when New Hampshire splits off, say New Hampshire was to split off, Russia or China won't look at us any different than some part of the Caribbean. They won't
No,
suddenly
China.
think that they're going to come take us over. I mean, that's not going to happen.
No, China's going to show up and say, like, what is your trade negotiation deal? We want to sell you, we're gonna like, is Amazon still going to work there? Like, we're going to start sending you all this stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is,
That's
and
what
then
China's going to do. They're going to try to make money. They're going to think they can make more money than they can make now in New Hampshire.
I was looking
That's
this
what'll
up
happen.
recently, and before COVID, I think China was the second biggest trading partner with New Hampshire. They kind of jostle and go back and forth.
Well,
Canada, China, Mexico, and Germany are usually the top four. But during COVID, some of our companies did less with exporting to China. So they're like down and forth now. But yeah, if we were our own country, we might be trading just as much with China as, the US. I think US would take over number one. And then either Canada or Mexico would probably be number two. And then Germany or China would be number, three and four. You know what I mean? That sort of three, four, five.
yeah, and
That
you
would.
don't start a war with your top five trading partners.
Yeah, and of
That's a
course
dumb
we'd
thing.
have no incentive to do that, and there just would be no precedent for us having that kind of way of looking at the world, right?
Yeah,
When we get
what
back
could
to.
possibly be the point of a war with China and New Hampshire?
Yeah. Yeah,
why would either side even have any interest in that?
our future, governor changing to president of New Hampshire, will start talking more like Jefferson and Washington in how they want to interact with other countries.
I'm sure when,
You know what I mean?
when New Hampshire leaves and President Karl Lagerich is not going to order a battleship to go cruise the South China Sea
Yeah, I mean, we just it
and
just it,
rile up Taiwan and China, like that's not what's going to happen.
yeah. Yeah, that's funny with all
Might not
those.
need, might not need any military. I don't know, does New Hampshire need much of a military?
Yeah, I don't know. I know there's guys here that would want to have a purely defensive one. And maybe you could go back
Sure.
to the way it was a long time ago where there's no standing army, right?
Yeah,
Where there's
that's
just a
the idea.
purely, have a poison pill, Switzerland style defense.
Yeah,
Where,
and with our, prepared citizenry, armed and trained. You go back to, what the admiral from Japan in World War II, when they talked about invading the US, he said, "We can invade the US. There'd be a gun under every blade of grass."
yeah, that'd be, I mean, if Switzerland can survive World War II independent, I don't know why New Hampshire couldn't maintain that. During World War III, we could be Sweden or Switzerland, like they were in World War II. I think we could do that. We wouldn't have
Yeah.
to be involved, and we wouldn't have to get overrun by somebody. It's not automatic. I don't think that would happen.
If there's no threat, there's the reason to overrun goes away, and if you have a fairly good defense, it's hard to invade another country. It's always a stretch. You're talking about overseas. The
Yeah,
biggest
because
invasion risk is the federal government.
Canada's not going to invade us. It's only going to be the
Canada
United
won't invade
States,
us.
right?
No, Canada. Yes, it would only be the only. I see the only risk as the United States.
Yeah, and that's what's funny is when you're talking on the streets, half the Republicans, their problem is military. Like we're going to be defenseless to the Chi-Com. And I just don't understand how they think that.
Well, the whole fear of the China or whoever the boogeyman is, Iran, you got Russia, Iran, China, like they're my opinion, they are not going to attack. Russia is showing, Putin, Russia is showing tremendous restraint under the NATO barrage, decades long. China, I think, just wants to sell stuff. Iran has not invaded another country for 500 years. Like, I don't think they're going to come across the ocean. Who else? North Korea? We already had a little squabble with North Korea. They're probably too small to matter
And
to
they're not
us.
going to be interested in any of us small countries.
Yeah. And New Hampshire has, as far as North Korea goes, you got the Pacific Ocean and then 3,000 miles of U.S.
Yeah,
mainland.
like if
That's
China was
a
going to,
pretty good buffer.
if Russia was going to do something, they'd be doing something with Alaska, not us. Or like if China was going to do something, they'd do something with Alaska or California or something, right? They're not
I
going to,
yeah I don't yes
they're not
I
going to.
I I agree. I don't see any of those as being there. The possibility is nil, vanishingly small. The only serious significant threat of violence of military is Washington, D.C.,
Yeah, I
the
mean,
U.S.
that's.
federal government. That's the only significant threat. So any U.S. state that's thinking about leaving the Union, the only thing, in my opinion, they need to worry about or be concerned about, try to negotiate, try to deal with threats of violence, threats of physical force, is from Washington, D.C. That's the biggest risk government in the world. And that's actually true. I think that's true for all the countries in the world. It's not just a U.S. state. It's
Yeah,
like every country
you're
in the
right.
world that's true.
You're right. That would make sense that every that would be true of everybody.
Like if you live in, say, I don't know, Tehran in Iran, like what is the biggest fear you would have from another country? The U.S.
That the
Any
US
country in
decided it
Africa.
wanted to do something there. Yeah.
Every country in the Middle East, except for Israel. Israel is the exception. I don't know. Israel should probably worry too. But every country in the U.S., every country in the Middle East, their biggest fear is the United States. History, the last 3, 4 decades shows that the biggest risk to any of those countries is the United States. And I think the same is true for New Hampshire, Florida, Texas, California. Texas would be harder. The smaller countries, I think, would be the smaller states seceding and forming a country might be easier to try to push around, but there's also less incentive to do it. So those two things balance. I don't know which one, outweighs the other, but there is a balance there. Texas, they would not be happy. California, they would definitely not be happy. 40 million people, like California would be the, I think something like the seventh biggest country in the world on its own. And
Yeah,
California is a net,
and based on GDP
California's
or
a
I
net
think they're fifth or
positive
sixth.
input,
Yeah.
fifth or sixth in GDP. They're currently net positive to the federal government, even though, people harp on California, they actually are net positive on taxes. So, and it's huge. It's 40 million.
Well, and all the military bases there, naval bases, everything. It's a totally different type of thing.
Yeah, the
Oh, as a
land isn't.
so as a side thing, one of the things we like to joke about when we're talking about the size of New Hampshire, I'm just looking it up right now because I've been meaning to do this. So New Hampshire is a teeny tiny bit bigger than Israel square miles. We are 9,000 square miles and they are 8,000 square miles. I always tell people we're
Yeah,
about the same size as Israel. Yeah.
Israel. So the size of Israel, is Israel big enough to be a country? Most people think
And they
it
even want,
is.
they think they should be too.
So, yeah, New
They have more
Hampshire is
people
big
than
enough
us.
population.
Yeah, we have the population. We don't quite have the population of Tel Aviv. We probably have the same population as West Jerusalem and a little bit
Yeah,
more.
the population, like, we're talking about California leaving, like LA has a higher population than New Hampshire, right? LA
Oh,
County.
not even just one tiny. There's about 16
There.
million when you count everything around LA. So I mean, it just makes us nothing.
16 million. I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah,
I
when you
know,
when
in the Florida statistics, like one of the ones I've used before is, so Florida has the highest net immigration, domestic
Yeah, uh-huh.
migration in the US last year. The number of people who moved to Florida last year is equal to the population of New Hampshire.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
So the population shift, and they tend to be, even though New Hampshire, they did put DeSantis in office twice, Florida's still got a very high big city left-leaning population. So yeah, you got Orlando, Miami. Miami is bigger than New Hampshire
Oh,
population,
yeah, definitely.
and it's very, very much left leaning. Broward County, you got Orlando, you got Tampa,
We might
St.
be
Pete.
this we might be the size of Jacksonville. What do
Yeah, I
you
don't
think of
know the
that?
Jacksonville population. Jacksonville has a lot of military bases, so I
Yeah.
actually don't know how hard left or right Jacksonville leads. I would suspect, I do know some people who live there. It's got Mayport. There's a big naval base there, several big naval bases. There's research facilities. Jacksonville has a lot of military installations and tends to be conservative and a lot of manufacturing. So I'm not sure. Don't quote me. I'm not an expert on all parts of Florida. I live in South Florida, so I live a whole day drive from Jacksonville.
Yeah,
Florida's pretty big.
the population of actual Jacksonville is 1 million.
1 million. So
So they're
it's
a little bit
approaching
smaller.
the number of New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah.
So Florida
And
has a bunch of cities that are the size of New Hampshire population, and they tend to lean left. And then, but the vast majority, 90% of Florida land wise is very much independent conservative. Where I
Yeah.
live in South Florida, you just go 20 miles west and you're in farm country, and they're that's the kind of place you go into a store there, you go into a shop on the way, and they might have a sign on the door that says lawful concealed carry permitted on these premises. Like that's on the it's a sign on the door of the grocery store. It's a different, yeah. So that's like Central Florida is a lot different. So a lot of people think of Florida as the Southeast coast, the like 5 miles between the beach and the coast, but that's not most of Florida. Florida's huge.
Yeah, there's plenty of it that's it's a big mixture of stuff.
Yeah, when we
Almost
come to
like
Fort, when we leave to go to Pork Fest, just as scale wise, people forget this, but when I leave from home to go to, and I don't leave all the, I live 2 hours north of Miami, but the whole first day is getting out of Florida. It takes the whole day to get to the Georgia border.
Yeah, my wife and I have never driven from South Florida up and out the west side in one day. We
No,
can't
I
do
think
it.
that's yeah,
You know,
would you be
because we were
driving?
truck drivers, so I've done that a bunch.
Oh yeah,
And
you know, that's right, you know.
you don't get you can't I can make it to Georgia in one day, but I don't
Yeah,
make
you
it
can yeah,
I don't
we
make it
make it into
to
Georgia.
I don't make it to Mississippi in one day.
I drove up to Savannah on this trip, but that's because I had a place to stay. When I'm camping, we get across the Georgia border and we stay at a hip camp, actually. It's a horse farm that you can just go in, and they have power and water, and for $20, just pick a spot. So anyway, that's just across the Georgia border near St. Mary's, Georgia. Probably know where that is. Yeah, right
For
across the
sure.
border. So that's our first day. We get up and leave early and we get out of Florida.
Yeah, most people don't realize how big Florida is. If you're not looking at a map, you don't think of it. And then, like, you're especially, wouldn't you say the New Yorkers that live on that East Coast, or they fly to Miami to get there, they
They
don't realize how
fly,
big
yeah.
Florida
Yeah, they fly. They have another
is.
car or they bring the cars down. A common thing you see on the highway in the spring and fall is car trailers. And they're all full of, they're not new. They're, fairly late model, all different cars. And the license plates are New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania. We call in Florida, we call the fall season. It hasn't started yet, but the Florida does have a changing of the colors when the colors are changing. But in Florida, it happens around December and the color changes are on the road. It's the license plates. And they say, oh,
That's
the color, the season's
the
changing. It's
season's
becoming winter.
changing.
Yep, the colors. Yeah, look at the colors.
It starts getting busier in November, December.
Yeah, then January is kind of the peak, right? There's some people wait till Christmas, but yeah, by the end of December, that's when the snowbirds come down. And they do have some influence on Florida, and the ones who move there permanently have a lot of influence. So, like I mentioned, that over 1 million people moved, migrated to Florida, but there is a high percentage of that comes from politically left Northeast states. And they bring that with them. So, Florida's iffy. Florida's not as conservative as people would like, as the as you know, it just happens to have a pretty strong Republican, legislature and DeSantis. But I mean, when DeSantis' first election, he only won by a couple tenths of a percent. An absolutely crazy left communist almost won DeSantis' first election. Florida's not as red as I would like it. And I'm not Republican. I'm not trying to promote Republican. I've only voted for a Republican president once in my whole life, and I'm embarrassed to admit who it was. So I don't want to say in public.
During COVID, the places that had a little bit more Republican leaning were better, like Florida. So it
Florida was the
helped.
best state, and we drove. I mean, I drove to Pork Fest during COVID with a camper. If you didn't have a camper, I wouldn't have wanted to attempt that trip. Going through the up the Middle East, up the middle, the Eastern Seaboard. But I can tell you that Florida, at least the part of Florida I live in, which is pretty good even for Florida standards, like Florida was way better than New Hampshire.
I try
And
to
we went
tell
through
that to
Vermont, spent some. Yeah,
yeah,
we
I try
spent
to
some
tell the
time in
people in New
Vermont. I had
Hampshire.
family there.
New Hampshire was about middle of the road for COVID. Yes, my wife and I, for the first 2 years of that, we're still running all over the states. And the best places were places like Wyoming, South Dakota, the oil
Oh,
patch in
yeah.
Texas. Florida was pretty good. Arizona
Florida.
was good. New Mexico was bad. California was, of course, crazy. And then the Northeast, it was crazy. And anything, by Chicago. And we also noticed the big thing, the big cities versus the country, right? Atlanta compared to rural Georgia was a huge difference.
Yeah, Georgia was famous because restaurants were open. People in northern Florida, there was a brief lockdown in Florida. DeSantis did he went with the program in the beginning. A lot of people forget that, but it didn't last very long. But I live on a seacoast town, and they closed the beaches because of COVID. That was DeSantis, but he figured it out really early. So kudos to him. I put DeSantis as one of the least worst governors.
And we were in Texas kind of at the time, and it was good in Texas at the beginning, and then in the middle of the summer, people get sick because they're indoors all the time. And then it was bad for like the month of August. And then it got better. So most of the time, Texas was good. And it was bad along the border and in Austin and in San Antonio. But other places were not bad.
Most of Texas is fiercely independent, right?
And
Rural
it was also the
Texas.
big city versus the country. I mean, once you were outside of
Yeah.
Dallas, it wasn't bad at all.
That
But
was, yeah, and that was true everywhere. That was true in Florida.
yeah.
I got, yeah, we got threatened by a cop in down in the next county south, where West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale is. Me and my girlfriend and two friends, we took our scooters, little motorcycles, and yeah, I got harassed because I was sitting down having my lunch. We had brought a little picnic lunch, so we were sitting on the beach. Now, we were told because of COVID, you can't sit down and eat your sandwich. But you can stand up. You're allowed to stand up. So the cop came up, yelled at us for violating the COVID restrictions, and asked him what we should do. We're just having lunch, and then we're going to get back on our scooters. We're sitting on the beach, right? And then
That's
we're going back on our
mind-boggling.
scooters and drive back north up the Barrier Island. It was a little like afternoon jaunt. And he said, "Well, you can stand up." And I said, "So we won't like kill grandmom if we stand up." And he goes, "Well, that's the rule. Yeah, you can stand up." So we just stood up, and we had to have our picnic lunch standing up
So
on the beach
you were allowed to
because of
be
COVID.
there, but not sitting and eating.
Yeah, we were allowed to be on the beach and we were allowed to eat, but we weren't allowed to sit down. That was the COVID restriction. So that's West Palm Beach. But yeah, my county is not. I live north. I live an hour north of that. My county was fine.
Yeah, we
Anyway,
went and yeah, that's we used to visit Pensacola a lot, and it was always good, you know, and all the stuff around there was really good,
the
so
whole
that was good.
panhandle, like you said, that's like another world up there. I
And that's
mean,
why
not too many.
I tried to tell people during COVID, you know, how people were thinking about moving with their feet. And if you don't like the cold or you like farming, I was telling people, you know, don't come to New Hampshire, go to the t Florida Panhandle, you know, when
Florida,
COVID
yeah.
was the big thing.
Florida's the like second biggest beef cattle farm, in the United States. Florida's got lots of farms, and that whole panhandle section up there, I don't even know that part that well, but I mean, it's a different time zone, central time zone in Florida.
Oh yeah, when you get yeah, you get between
Florida's so
Tallahassee and
big it has two
Pensacola.
time zones.
Yeah, it matches Alabama. So, you know, the part
Yeah, it's
south
in
of Alabama
Alabama.
is central time, and it also the people that go to Pensacola, they, you know, they're not coming from New York City. They're coming from like Ohio and Chicago and stuff like that.
No, that's like, yeah, like Pascagoula along the whole Mississippi. That's part of the Redneck Riviera, right?
So during COVID, that was better than New Hampshire for most of COVID. So
So when Florida leaves the Union, I don't even know if all those parts will want to go. Like they maybe want to be their own too. Florida might be big enough to be two states, two countries.
So the only other thing I was going to bring up before we ended was one of the jo things I'm what I think, like, if New Hampshire left, I think it'd be I think some of us have joked about that, you know, a possibility would be the Abenaki people wanting land f and having their own place. And the because they're the only tribe that we know of that doesn't have any federal land. And they're in, you know, places like New York, Vermont, and here. And if we split, you know, what if we gave them the White Mountains? Give them the
I
federal
like the
land.
White Mountains. Yeah. As long as I can still camp here, I'll be good with that.
Well, you know, what if they needed half of it? You know, like the part that's west of Franconia Notch. You know, it's kind of split in two by the freeway there. And you know, what if they, because they don't have anything right now. But how would we, how would we tell them no when we just split from the US? Right? It would be, yeah, okay. I think that, and like you're saying, like with Florida, things might, you know, what does a person in rural Florida just south of, you know, on 75 south of Georgia, north of 10, what does that person have to
Oh
do?
yeah.
What do they have in common with Miami? Nothing.
No, yeah, they're more like Georgia.
Yeah, I mean it's they're more like South Georgia. They talk like that. They didn't come from Cuba. They didn't come from New York, right? I mean it
Yeah,
just
that's a different, that's a
Florida's a
whole
big enough
different
place,
area.
especially if people keep coming, right?
Yeah,
So
Florida's big enough to be multiple, and it's diverse enough to be.
Yeah, that'd be
Even New
interesting.
Hampshire is. I mean, the difference between Keene and the North Country is stark.
Well, and the
No
big
pun
difference.
intended about the people that live
Yeah,
in
well,
Stark.
that's the thing is, for me, the big difference is those of us that are far, if you're far enough away from Boston that you don't commute from here to Boston. So if
Yeah,
you're
once you
north
get
of,
above the
no,
notch.
yeah, well, if you're north of Concord, you're not driving to Boston, and we're over the mountains, kind of away from Boston. So all of this hilly part on the west side is a little bit different. We're different than the seacoast. We're not Manchester, and then, like you're saying, the north part is very different.
Yeah, it's a
If
lot different. So I'm interesting. I've spent 4 years surveying. So this is the longest time I've spent in the North Country. Last year we spent about a week in the Keene, the Monadnock region. A week was not long enough for me to learn how to say that. Monadnock.
well, they say it Monadnock.
Monadnock region.
Yeah,
So I
but
got to
I
know
mean,
that a little bit. Keene, yeah, we went to Keene twice.
yeah, because
But
also where we are here in this valley and the stuff that goes up the Connecticut River, the people moved here from Connecticut, not from Boston. They went up the river. So we have more connections with Springfield, Mass, and Hartford, Connecticut than we do
because
with
of how far
Boston.
west it is.
That's where they came from. They didn't come
Yeah,
over the
so.
mountains to get there. They came up the river.
Yeah.
So that's why it has a very different personality along the Connecticut River and stuff.
Even
Because
then
that's.
further east when you get over almost to the seacoast or the east part of Monadnock.
Also, I mean, you got a place, there's places on the other side of New Hampshire that started in 1621 or 1625. Well, some of the places over here and some of the places where you're at right now, they weren't there till, 1720, or you know what I mean? Like the towns aren't that, there's
Yeah.
towns in the mountains that are, from 1740. They're not from 1620, so there's a big difference, But it's kind of funny. And of course, well, the other thing is, I think we'll get more tourism if we're our own little country, because we'd be this strange little place up here, right? Like right now, if you're a Floridian or something and you want to go look at the leaves, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, upstate New York, they all have a lot in common to you, except for the ocean versus the mountains. But if we were our own special little funky country,
Be even more interesting.
Yeah, it's why they wear funny clothes. They have rednecks. They've got beach, they've got the coastal people. You know what I mean? You'd be fascinated by this crazy little place. There's a couple million people and they have their a banking center and they've got casinos and they don't
Yeah,
pay
you got.
taxes. It'd be a strange place.
All right, I think New Hampshire should do it.
Yeah.
And
Well, along the idea of who would go first, if it was up to that, I hope it would be between us and Texas taking the steps first. I guess po if California went, if they felt like the country had gone too Republican on them or something. But, we want to keep pushing. I think that's the best
I
way.
would I'd lean towards thinking as first as a full state secession, Texas or New Hampshire seems more likely than California. California's got a lot of problems besides just big federal government's really not going to want to let California go,
Yes, well, that.
and like two probably more than half, two-thirds of the land mass in California doesn't want to be the left liberal paradise.
Yeah,
So
that they'd be
California's
disagreeing
got some
about that. Yeah.
problems. The
And
splitting. I
the
mean, I wouldn't be
pers
surprised if like the first secession is more the soft secession moving part of the state, like Greater Idaho Movement, or
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
even
Yeah,
Western Maine.
those possibilities. I don't know if you've noticed from being around. See, if you did those kinds of things, or if we were to split, the top, Vermont and New Hampshire used to be together, right? Most of
Yeah.
Vermont was. I mean, some of Vermont came from New York, but most of it came from New Hampshire.
You're better off separated, as it
And
turned out.
the Northeast Kingdom, that chunk of Vermont that's above New Hampshire, has a lot in common with us. Same with parts of Western, Northwest Maine have a lot in common with us. So those things, same with how Keene has a lot in common with Brattleboro, Vermont, and Portsmouth has a lot in common with Mass and Maine.
I would like to see one line moved as a foot in the door, whatever you're gonna call it. It's kind of an opening act that could that would support a full state independence secession, would be a major part of a state like the whole eastern half of Oregon becoming part of Idaho. It's just like you're taking away this notion that is part of the religion of the United States as the empire, that the state lines are some kind of sacred
Yeah,
boundary
that's what
that you can't change.
Tom Woods describes that really well, because people, especially Republicans, have in their mind that these 50 states have been like this for hundreds of years, and they don't realize that how Kentucky and West Virginia and Virginia formed was very up in the air. And same
Yeah,
with
there's
some of the
some
Western
counties.
places where, they've drawn straight lines. They don't have any reason to be like that. Eastern Oregon has a lot more in common with Idaho.
Yeah, as soon as you get east of the mountains, Oregon is a different, totally different place
It's a
from
different.
the Portland and
Yeah, and yeah, Washington
so.
and Oregon are like that. The top little part of the panhandle of Idaho has a lot more, it's connected to Spokane. It's not, what does it have to do with Twin Falls, Idaho? That's not this, it's not the same. You can't get there from here. There's
So
mountains in the way.
any icebreaker that happens would be good. I would support any of them. Western Illinois breaking away, Eastern, and it could be, I mean, because they've already had somewhere in the 12, I haven't checked lately, there might be 13 now, counties in Eastern Oregon have voted to join New Hampshire. Like the whole county, they had a citizens referendum and they already voted. Like they're ready to call for a, and so if they do that, that'll make it very clear to the whole country that the lines are not sacred.
Yeah, and just like I like the idea of, for us, if New Hampshire wants to leave and you think 50 is sacred, well, then make Puerto Rico a state, or Washington, D.C., or you could split California in half.
Yeah, if you
Right, if
don't
you
want
want
to like
50,
mess up the flag for some
yeah, I mean, you
reason.
can have, right? If you think that's sacred, we'll just sneak out the side and you can have Puerto Rico or Washington, D.C.
Now the Puerto Ricans disagree, so you have that problem.
Yeah, I think some of them
They've
want in, right? Some.
oh some do, but Puerto Rico has had three elections so far, three referendums so far in it for statehood, and they all lost
Oh, okay,
because they would
interesting.
have to be more responsible for themselves. But yeah, so Puerto Rico majority is opposed to that.
Yeah,
Because if
but
they become
we
a
know
state,
Washington, D.C. wants to be a state, that's for sure.
I don't know if they've ever had a vote. I haven't heard. It's a little different for Washington, D.C., because they're not a territory that can just vote to propose to
But I
Congress.
know
I
they talk
disagree with
about, they wish
Washington.
they had two senators and, five representatives or something like that. You know what I mean?
Sure, I wish I had two senators and five representatives. But the point of Washington is that that's the seat of the federal government. That can't be a state. That's a conflict of interest. I think that should just be, not that the Supreme Court cares about the Constitution, but you should just say like, no, you can't do that. Washington, D.C. cannot be a state. That's a conflict of interest. How can it be a state and also be the delegated central government authority? You can't do both. That's what I think.
Well, it's
So the
already
answer
so
to that is
insane.
no. They should stop talking about it. The answer to that is no. You guys can't do that.
Yeah, I know Democrats in Washington D.C. talk that way because they get more power. You know, they'd have more. Just
Their question is only, can we get more power? Yes or no? Okay, that's where the flow chart goes. Yes, okay, that's what
just
we
like with the
want.
Californians. I mean, some of them, if they want, you know, they could be two states and then they'd have more senators. You know, so
Yeah.
they don't like it that they only have two senators. So that's the way.
They don't want to not have control of the other two senators. That's the problem. They need to have control of everything. So anything that results in less control, they're opposed.
Oh yeah, when we were joking about the different states, you know, California's almost gone bankrupt four times. You know, they have to keep backing off. Well, New Hampshire's not like that, so
No.
we're better off than that.
They have one of the highest per capita incomes in the United States.
Yeah, and right now, under the current government, we've been saving money. The last 3, 4 years, they've been banking money. I think Texas has been lately too. They've been spending less than they bring in. Whereas there's many states that are just going bankrupt, you know.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's happening that used to never happen, right? Cities and states going bankrupt. So
Yeah, whole state going bankrupt.
something's gonna have to give. So, well, you
All
know
right,
what?
so
You know what happened, Keith?
what?
We've gone for 1 hour and 11 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say we exceeded the 30-minute goal, but it was very interesting talking with you, and we covered a lot of ground here.
What we should do, Keith, is either I'll be on one of your shows sometime, or we could do this again on another Monday night, or we could do it on your schedule sometime.
Yeah, I can do I'll watch for another Monday and just join, yeah. And I
Okay.
can message you and tell you which ones I'm planning
And
to go to if you
you and I
want.
agree on so much that we could talk for 4 days, so
Yeah, that's the danger, and nobody's going to listen to a podcast
see, can we
of
annoy Washington D.C. so they just let New Hampshire go?
that. Well, you
We're
have to be
tired of these.
careful. You have to be careful because you admitted you're in your house. They can't find me.
Well, one of the times we knew we weren't getting listened to in Keene is when the feds came to pick up Dave Ridley and he hadn't been there for months. So we knew they weren't listening to us.
They weren't paying very much attention.
But that kind of stuff. They know where
Yes.
we are. I'm at the address for NH Exit. See, I'm an NH Exit, you know, LLC, you know, so I'm just like the California guys. So
So they can just look
I'm
you up
at
in the
their
phone book.
I'm at the address. That's how
You won't be hard
brazen
to
we are
find.
here in New Hampshire.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Good for you.
Well, this was fun. I will stop the recording before we go forever.
Okay.
All right. Good talking to you, Keith.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Have a good
Bye.
night.